the size of church that we are, very few of us paid a lot of money to go to Honduras. And so, I mean, that's because of you guys. And so maybe you don't feel like you were a part of the trip, but if you gave, you prayed, you drove, you were definitely a big part of this trip and how God moved in Honduras. So again, thank you. We are truly a church without walls, a church who delivers, a church who disciples, and a church who deploys. And listen, how you serve, that is proof of that. And I mean this when I say it. It is such a privilege to pastor a church that cares so much for the kingdom of God. Because that's not the case in every church. So again, thank you. Again, God did incredible things in Honduras. Hopefully you had some time to hear some of the stories in Sunday school. And listen, if you feel that call to go with us, if you weren't with us, we already have our dates next year, July 16th through the 23rd. And we'll be putting out information for that very soon. And I would encourage you, if maybe you're even just thinking about it, take a step of faith and just watch how God will just move in your life. And come see what God's doing for yourself. Amen. Some of you are smiling like, I'll never get on that plane. Maybe that's your step of faith, right? Like, just get on a plane and watch how God moves. I'm telling you, it's an incredible opportunity. All right, if you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, open them up with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're actually going to finish this book up today, and then we'll jump back into the book of Genesis after that, looking at the life of Jacob. And so if you're there with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, if you would stand with me as we read our text together. We'll be reading chapter 11, verse 7, through chapter 12, verse 14. It says this: Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Thank you. You can be seated. If you've been with us through this series in Ecclesiastes, you've probably felt at some point the weight of Solomon's words. He's taken us on a journey through the emptiness of life, a life that's lived under the sun, when God's pushed to the margins, or when God's just forgotten about altogether. We've watched him explore just about every path the world says will bring happiness, right? Wisdom, pleasure, career, success, wealth, relationships, achievements, religion. And listen, he reached the top of all of these things only to look around and say, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, and we just read it here at the end of our time in this book, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And Solomon has been brutally honest with us. Life is short. Work doesn't last. Wealth doesn't satisfy you. And ultimately, death comes for everyone. And yet, tucked away in all this raw realism, we see moments of clarity. Moments where Solomon reminds us that life is still a gift, that it's good to eat, and it's good to drink, and it's good to enjoy the work that God has provided you, that it matters how you live, that fearing God brings substance to the vapor of our life. And so as we come to this final passage in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, his tone shifts a little bit more. He's not just a philosopher anymore. He's a father, maybe a grandfather, speaking with urgency and compassion as he wraps up this book. He knows the clock is ticking. And so he wants us to understand something before time runs out. You know, as I was reading this in Honduras and just studying on this passage, if I'm honest, as I get older myself, I feel this message in a very real way, more so than I ever have before at any other point in my life. People, when I was younger, they used to tell me when my kids were little, don't blink, right? They grow up so fast. And at that time, you know, I believed them in theory. But now that I'm older, I know it firsthand. It feels like just yesterday I was holding all three of them in my arms. And now my oldest, she's 16. She's about to drive, about to graduate, asking deep questions. I mean, you guys have been there. Some of you guys are past that, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just amazing how fast time has just gone and how much faster it seems to be going now. You don't notice time slipping away until it already has. And Solomon's saying here, don't wait until life starts slipping through your fingers to wake up to what really matters. In this closing passage, he gives us three final truths to hold on to. Truths that point us toward joy and urgency and ultimately toward Christ, which is our three points this morning. Number one, enjoy God's gifts while they last. Number two, turn to God before time runs out. And then finally, number three, trust Jesus to give your life meaning. And listen, this isn't just the end of Ecclesiastes. It's a call to stop drifting, right? To start living with purpose. We started this series by saying living with your death in mind first, right? Because the sun, it's setting on all of us. So the question is, will your life end in vanity, or will it end in the hope and the wisdom of God? And so if you're there with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, let's dig into this first point together. Enjoy God's gifts while they last. Solomon begins with a poetic truth. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. He's speaking literally and metaphorically here. He's saying to wake up to a new day, to see the sunrise, to have another breath in your lungs, it's sweet, right? It's good. Life itself is good. I mean, God created it, and he called it in Genesis 1:31, very good. We're seeing a language of gratitude here. Solomon, he's urging us to delight in the simple goodness of just simply being alive. Too oftentimes, especially in religious circles, we equate seriousness with godliness and suspicion of joy with maturity. But Solomon reminds us that to rejoice in God's good creation, it's not sin, it's worship. Charles Spurgeon said, there's a time to be born and a time to die, and in between is a time to live. And the Christian should live with all his might for the glory of God. And so the question is, are you so focused on what's wrong with your life that you've forgotten to thank God for the light of your life? Verse 8, so if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. This is where Solomon holds joy and soberness together. Yes, rejoice in every year that God gives you. But remember, the days of darkness, they're coming. He's speaking of aging here and in death, the shadow side of life. He's not trying to depress us. He's trying to wake us up This is biblical realism. Life is beautiful, but it's also brief. It's not a contradiction to say that life is a gift and at the same time, death is certain. It's wisdom. J.I. Packer, he wrote, "The Christian is realistic. He knows that life is both glorious and grim. That is what Scripture teaches," he says, "and that is what Ecclesiastes gets right." Guys, understand what Solomon is saying here. Don't put off joy until your life is perfect. That day will never come under the sun. Enjoy your years while you can, but enjoy them with eternity in view. Verse 9. "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment." This is one of those misunderstood verses. Solomon, he's not given permission to follow your heart blindly. That's actually one of the biggest lies that our society tells us. Just follow your heart, right? No. That's evil. That's what the Bible says. He's telling young people here instead to live fully, but at the same time, he's saying to live responsibly, right? The joy of youth is real, but it's not ultimate. So go ahead, use your gifts, take risks, fall in love, pursue what's good and what's beautiful in the world, but don't forget, you are accountable to God for how you live. One commentator wrote, "Youth is the time for joy, but it must be the joy in the Lord." Let young people remember that their Creator is also their judge. Listen, it's like handing your teenager the keys to the car. I feel like that's all of my illustrations now because that's where my anxieties are. You want them to enjoy that kind of freedom, right? But you also expect them to drive wisely. Freedom doesn't cancel accountability. And so if you're young, don't waste it in self-indulgence or endless scrolling. Build a life of purpose now, not later. You don't get these years back. That's what Solomon's saying here. Verse 10, "Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity." Here's what Solomon's telling us. Don't waste your life waiting for the perfect moment to start living with joy and purpose. Enjoy what God's given you right now. Your youth, your health, your relationships, your calling. But do it all with eternity in view. This means don't delay obedience, thinking that there's going to be a better season to come. Don't withhold joy, thinking life has to be perfect first. Don't just assume you'll start taking God seriously later when you've had your fun, because you won't. God's not trying to steal your joy. He's inviting you to experience it fully in Him. And listen, I want you to hear me. This isn't just for young people either. I know some of you older people are sitting there thinking, "You get them, Pastor. They're wasting their life away." Listen, some of you aren't spring chickens anymore. You're knocking on death's door and you're acting just like these young people are. No, I'm dead serious. That's Solomon's words here. You think you got the rest of your life ahead of you, and you don't. Hear the words of Solomon. Enjoy the gifts that God has given you while you still can. This is serious. John Calvin wrote, "It's vain to delight in this life without a well-grounded hope of the life to come." True joy under the sun is only possible when you remember the God who made the sun. So if you're young, pursue God now, not later. If you're older, don't regret lost time. Rejoice in what remains. And for all of us, don't settle for pleasure that fades. Find your joy in the One who never will. If you approach life with this mindset, you'll see the gifts that God's given you today. And listen, regardless of the season you find yourself in, you'll rejoice. And so enjoy God's gifts while you still can. Don't bank on your age to give you what only God can give, which is time. Your age, the time you think you have left, it's all vanity. It's fleeting. It's a vapor. And you'll realize that sooner or later if you haven't already. Which leads us into the next point. Turn to God before time runs out. Look at chapter 12, verse 1 with me again. "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." Solomon, he moves from joy to urgency, from celebration to preparation. He says, "Remember your Creator now, while you're young, while you have strength, while your heart still feels soft." Why? Because he says the evil days are coming. He's talking about old age here. Not in a disrespectful way, but in a realistic way. The days when the body breaks down, when your strength fades, when you no longer want to get up in the morning. And Solomon knows how the human heart works. We tend to put things off, right? And we think, I'll get serious about God later, after this phase, after I graduate, after I get married, once the kids are older, once life slows down. Solomon's saying, don't wait. The longer you wait, the harder it gets. Life moves faster. Regret piles up. And listen, before you know it, the years they catch up to, and you find yourself asking the question, where did it all go? Youthful sin lays a foundation for aged sorrow. That's the tragedy that Solomon wants us to avoid. Let's keep moving. Look at these next several verses. We see the progress of aging here. It's poetic, but it's also very personal. He's painting the picture of a house that's kind of slowly falling apart. Watch this, verse 2. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. This is a metaphor for the loss of mental clarity and emotional lightness. When you're young, the storms of life come, but then the sun comes back out. You bounce back quickly. But in old age, Solomon says the clouds return after the rain. You don't recover like you used to. The clouds, they stay. Verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, that's your hands. Once strong and once steady, they now tremble. And the strong men are bent. Your legs, once able to carry you, they're bowed now, unstable. And the grinders cease because they are few. That's your teeth. They're gone or they're going. And those who look through the windows are dim. That's your eyesight fading. You need glasses, then stronger glasses, then surgery. Solomon's not mocking. He's just being real here. It's the progression of age. Verse 4, and the doors on the street are shut. That could refer to your mouth, your ability to speak or be heard, or even just your social world shrinking around you as your friends begin to pass off into eternity. When the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird, sleep becomes light. You wake up early even though you're tired. That's the paradox of old age. You can't rest like you used to. And all the daughters of song are brought low. Your hearing fades. The music you once loved now sounds dull or even annoying. Conversations become frustrating. Verse 5. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. Fear increases. Simple things like stairs or driving at night become sources of anxiety for you now. You start to avoid things you once embraced. The almond tree blossoms. That's the image of white hair. The grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails. Even your appetite fades, both physically and emotionally. Energy's gone. Desires that once drove you no longer do. Because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Death is approaching. The funeral is being planned. People begin talking about your life in the past tense. Verses 6 and 7. Watch this, how it builds. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Each of these images is something precious, something valuable, but also fragile. Solomon's saying life is precious. Yes, it is. It's a gift from God, but it's also easily broken. One moment of weakness, one diagnosis, one fall in the golden bowl, it just shatters. Verse 7, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And just like that, it's over. You return to dust, just like Genesis 3:19 says, and your spirit stands before God, not reincarnated, not recycled, accountable. That's why Solomon starts the chapter with, remember your Creator, because you're going to meet Him. You're not just a creature made from dust. You're a creature made in His image, and one day you will return to Him. One commentator wrote, we're not our own. Let not our reason nor our will therefore sway our plans and deeds. We are not our own. Let us therefore forget ourselves and all that is ours, but we are God's. Let us therefore live for Him and die unto Him. And so listen, this is the question we need to ask ourselves this morning. Have I remembered my Creator with the life that I've lived to this point? Not just believed in him generically. Have I acknowledged him personally, trusted him, feared him, followed him? Because the time's coming when it'll be too late and you'll be standing in front of him. If you're young, turn to God now. I mean, hear Solomon's words. Don't waste your youth on things that won't matter in 10 years, much less eternity. If you're middle-aged, you might feel like you're too far down the road to change. You're not. There's still time. Turn to him before the silver cord snaps. And if you're older, you may already feel some of the things that these verses laid out in your own body. Don't assume it's too late. God's grace reaches even into the last chapter of our lives. Turn to him and help the next generation do the same. See the gift, but see the gift with realism. It's coming to a close. But understand, it's never too early or too late to remember your Creator as long as you have breath in your lungs. I want you to listen to me. There's coming a day when it will be too late, when your breath is no longer in your body. The best day to seek the Lord is today. The next best day is tomorrow, but tomorrow is never promised. Charles Spurgeon said that. And so turn to the Lord before time runs out. Which moves us into our last point. Trust Jesus to give your life meaning. Look at verse 8 with me again in chapter 12. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. If you remember when we started this series a couple of months ago, we actually looked at these verses. We began with the first chapter and we looked into the last chapter. But Solomon, he kind of returns to his opening line. It's like a bookend to everything else that he's explored. He's circling back to his conclusion, but this time here's the thing, it hits different, right? He's not just mourning anymore. It's a sober, settled reality. He's saying, apart from God, it's really just all meaningless. And yet, here in these final verses, Solomon doesn't just leave us in despair. These verses, they point us beyond the smoke and the fog of this world, and they give us a way through all the vanity. Verse 9 says, besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying, arranging many proverbs with great care. I mean, Solomon wasn't just talking to himself this whole time as we've walked through this book. He's trying to teach, to disciple. He was passing on wisdom, not just information, but truth that shapes how we should live our lives today. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. And these weren't just depressing journal entries that were compiled together. They were crafted with care, with honesty, with intention. Words meant to wake us up to reality, to draw us towards something much deeper, something lasting. And in verses 11 and 12, the words of the wise are like goads. You remember what a goad is when we went through this? It's like a sharp stick that a shepherd used to nudge the sheep or the livestock. Not to harm them, but to keep them moving, right? To keep them on the right path. That's what Solomon's words are meant to do for us, poke us and prod us in the right direction. And like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings that are given by one shepherd. It's a powerful shift here. Notice that one shepherd, capital S in most of your translations, that's not Solomon here, that's not wisdom in general, that's God. It's a shadow of Christ himself, the good shepherd, whose words are both sharp like goads and secure like nails. He wounds to heal, he prods to protect. And then we get to verse 13, one of the most important verses, I think, in the whole Bible. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I mean, this is Solomon's bottom line. This is what all the searching has led him to. Not pleasure, not accomplishment, not even knowledge, but reverence. Right? Worship, obedience, fear God, keep his commandments. Why? Verse 14 tells us. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's where it all lands. Life's not random. You're not an accident. Your choices matter. You'll stand before God, and what you did in your life, it'll all be revealed. So where does Jesus come into all of this? Because if we're honest, this should scare us a little bit, right? If every deed, every secret thing we've ever done, if all that's going to be judged, who among us can stand? Here's the answer that the Bible gives us. If you were to read it as a whole, only one person has ever feared God perfectly. Only one person has ever kept God's commandments fully. Jesus. And through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, he took our judgment. He offers us his righteousness. So when you trust Jesus, when you follow him, you don't just get forgiveness for your past. You get purpose for your presence. You're present. You're no longer chasing vanity. You're walking in meaning. You're no longer striving to earn God's approval. You're living out of the love he's already given you. That's the gospel. And that's what Solomon points us to, even in a book that's just filled with shadows. He says all is vanity. Unless you fear God, unless you live for the one who gave you life, and unless you trust in the shepherd who speaks the word of truth. That's his closing point here. Everything's vanity unless those three things happen. So let's wrap this up. I know you're like, wow, he needs to go to Honduras more often. Three truths Solomon gives us. Number one, enjoy God's gifts while they last, because life is short, but it's good. Number two, turn to God before time runs out, because death is certain, but it's not the end. And finally, trust Jesus to give your life meaning, because judgment is coming. But understand what Solomon says, grace is offered now. This isn't just a poetic ending to a book. It's a call to wake up, to stop chasing what doesn't matter, to stop drifting through life as if it'll last forever. As the sun is setting, your days are numbered. You can live today with joy, with urgency, with purpose, if you live it in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you again. Will your life end in vanity? Or will it all end in the hope and the wisdom of God? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Listen, as we come to the end of our time, at the end of this very, I think, powerful book, let me speak to two different groups of people in this room this morning. First, I want to speak to the believers. Guys, you know Jesus. You've trusted him for your salvation, but the question today is, are you living like it? Are you enjoying the gifts that God's given you with gratitude? Are you remembering your Creator daily, not just in crisis? Are you investing your life in what lasts? Or listen, are you drifting into the things that don't? Hear the words of Solomon. He's not a fool. He's lived the life that we all are living now, and he has come to this conclusion, not just with wisdom, but by his own experiences. He's an old man as he writes this book, probably facing death himself. Listen, maybe somewhere along the way your priorities got all out of order. Maybe you've been wasting time, numbing your soul, settling for the temporary while ignoring the eternal. Listen, if that's you, return to the shepherd today while you still have time. Realign your heart with his. Commit to living with purpose and urgency and joy for the glory of God. He's not asking for perfection. He's inviting you to walk with him again, to trust him, to live fully for his kingdom. So listen, if that's you, just tell him right now in your own words, Lord, I've drifted, but I want to return. I want to live the rest of my life for you. Tell him. Right? He hears you. He welcomes you. That's the wisdom of Solomon. That's the point of Ecclesiastes. Return to the shepherd while there's still time. Second, to those of you who aren't believers, maybe you've been around church, maybe this is your first time here, but if you're honest, you've been living life under the sun without God, without answers, chasing things that haven't satisfied your soul. And maybe today, for the first time, maybe it clicked. You were made for more. You were made to know your Creator, to walk with him, to trust him. And through Jesus Christ, that is possible. You might have chosen rebellion against God, and that rebellion might lead to death, but Jesus offers restoration from that. Jesus died for your sin. He took your place. He rose again so that you could have eternal life, not just someday, but starting right now. And so today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't wait for a better season. Don't wait until you get your life together. Turn to him right now. Repent. Put your trust in him. Let him forgive you. Let him lead you. Let him give you your life, the meaning it was always meant to have. So listen, our praise team are going to play. And whoever you are this morning, believer, unbeliever, I want you to take this time and I want you to respond to the Spirit of God seriously. Quit living as if you're guaranteed tomorrow. Your age, the amount of life you think you have left, it's all vanity and it's fleeting. Don't wait until you stand before the Creator to see truth. Respond to it now. Begin living your life with purpose today. And so, yes, we're done a little early. But guys, take this time to respond to the shepherd. Would you do that? You take this time. The praise team's going to play. I'll close this in just a moment.